Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Mother's Day. Welcome to the Mother's Day edition of the Gridiron Blitz on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find us on our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com. Welcome to Gridiron Beauty's Blitz. Happy Mother's Day, and we have the great mom on our show, Erica Lynn Anderson, on.
Hello, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
I hope you had a great day, Erica, today with family and so, and I know you said it was snowing out there, so hopefully everything was good. On top of that?
Yes, everything's been great. My kids surprised me with presents this morning, so very, very nice day.
Awesome. So it's always nice to get appreciated for the 12 months of every year on one day out of the year, as my aunt would say. We only get one day out of the year? Wow. But she was joking. Of course, she only had 9 kids. No big deal, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. She's a saint, that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. I think she wanted a little perk, maybe 3 days out of the year or something, more of a perk there. Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to everybody. We were tweeting out there. We have a lot of tweets that came in. We want to just give a shout-out to all the moms that sacrificed their time and effort to get everybody to practice, to put up some time and devote all that effort to put the kids up in sports. So a lot of dedication on both sides, on the individual daughters as well, but obviously on the parents as well financially, and you get into a lot of other stuff. But shout out to mom for being there for all those inspiring daughters that are obviously athletic and very good at what they do. So for the gridiron side of it, shout out to all the moms that play gridiron. On top of that, the tough girls out in the field, not just off the field. So we want to give a shout out to them, and especially up in Canada. The Western Women's Canadian Football League kicked off today, yesterday and today, as well as the Maritime Football League out there. And a shout-out to Ad Football Canada as well for all the girls that are out there playing their hearts out. We have some scores to put out there. The Regina Riot opened up the season in 2014, 41-7 over the Winnipeg Nomad Wolfpack. The Lithgow Steel, 65-16 over the Grand Prairies. The Saskatoon Valkyries. We're winning 39-0 at halftime versus the Manitoba Fearless, and we will get the Maritime scores up as soon as they're finalized. And you can follow them at MFWFL Football on Twitter, or you can follow our Twitter feed, and you can get their feed as well. In the Women's Football Alliance, big matchups this weekend. Still a lot of teams undefeated within the weeks here. Kansas City Titans, shout out to them, 33-14 over Nebraska Stampede, pretty fought matchup there. The former champs, San Diego Surge, put up 101 points yesterday against the Arizona Assassins. So I don't know what happened to Arizona. The offensive surge was surging in Arizona. Central Cal Angels are still undefeated. Probably one of the best top-ranked teams in the nation right now, given the stats from last year in the playoff mode. So you got to think that their focus right now this year is to get back to the national championship scene. So the Battle of Oregon, the Portland Shockwave rebounds after losing 2 in a row. They take care of their crosstown rivals, the Portland Fighting Phillies, 36-16. The Battle of Wisconsin, it was the Madison Blaze in the IWFL, 29-12 over the Wisconsin Warriors. The Eastern Seaboard in the IWFL, the Sharks, 41-24 over the Washington Prodigy. big surprise yesterday. Former champs, the Montreal Blitz, get shut out on the road against the Pittsburgh Passion. Pittsburgh Passion now, since joining this year, the IWFL, 4-0, so 35-0, blanking of the Montreal Blitz. Kind of surprising, considering the Blitz has been a very good team for so long. Want to give a shout-out to probably the hottest team in the WFA right now, minus the Chicago Force, of course, the Tampa Bay Inferno, 49-0, taking care of the Jacksonville Dixie Blues. The Battle of Michigan, up in Michigan, the Derby City Dynamite, take care of the Detroit Dark Angels, 22-20, and the Iowa Crush 15-6 over the Minnesota Vixen. Minnesota Vixen, kind of a staple team, veteran squad, 16 years in the IWFL. So that's pretty much the rundown. We will give you guys the rundown on the FXF Mexico results as they come in from our network down there, as well as the GWTFL and the WFL out of Guam. We'll give you that rundown. And the LFL rundown, we will go with Mike right now to get that going. So we have Mike Del Rio today, who is the beat writer for LFL360.com, as well as the Examiner.com and Gwinnett Sports Report.com. So before we go into that, Erica, get your feedback on the draft before we get Mike on here. Manziel to Cleveland, surprising that he dropped so much?
You know, I honestly didn't. It wasn't much of a surprise to me, to be honest. I've been pretty critical of him. Not that I don't think he's got, he's got talent, obviously. I just don't feel like he's ready to quite lead a team. I think the Browns are probably planning on implementing him right away. But I feel like Manziel would really benefit from sitting behind a veteran and really learning the game. I think he's immature, which is not a bad thing. It's just, something that needs to be rectified, and I don't think that it's something I think he's going to have a harder time learning, right out of the gate with a starting job. But
we talked about how everybody was viewing him the same way you're viewing him, which is not ready. So we'll see if he surprises us, especially on a team like Cleveland that really needs a boost. They have been down in the pits for so long that this would be a bright, shining star for them if he does turn it around.
Definitely, yeah. He could surprise us all, but I think the Browns are a good fit for him, for sure. Like I was telling you, I thought the Browns or Tampa Bay would have been a really good fit for him. But, like you said, we'll just have to see what happens.
Now, the other one that shocked me a little bit, and we talked about it off air here a little bit, was Oakland taking Derek Carr, even though they have Matt Schaub. So maybe it's short-term on Schaub and long-term on Carr. That's probably the thought process there.
Yeah, for sure. Carr could probably, learn behind a veteran. Like you said, he's kind of over the hill. I would like to see him rebound. I like Schaub. I would like to see him rebound after the rough season last year. Maybe pick up some confidence and be able to lead his team. But it's always good to have a backup, and Oakland doesn't really have much. So it was a smart pick.
Awesome. Now, Robinson going at number two wasn't really a surprise for the Rams to taking Robinson, obviously, with the Bradford needing some help, like we've talked about in a long time, even before the pre-drafts. Clowney going number one, no shocker to anybody, I think, because he was really touted to go number one no matter what. So that was a good fit for Houston no matter what.
Yeah, because I was wondering what the Texans were planning on doing at quarterback, and they're trying to grab Ryan Mallett, Brady's backup from the Patriots, and I think if that goes through, and I'm sure that, they're counting on getting a backup from somewhere, and I think that's why they went with Clowney and pair him up with Watt. They're going to be scary this season, I think. Their defense is going to be pretty phenomenal.
Now, Erica, we looked at, I think when we had the first round, we were talking Bortles. So you're happy with where Bortles landed, right?
I was, yeah. And, I was really excited that he was the fourth quarterback taken because obviously I've been very vocal about his skills and how I thought he was the best quarterback coming out of this class. And the Jaguars need a quarterback. And I think they, the Jaguars, then they spent the rest of the draft really building around him. And I think that this is a team – that is going to be very relevant here in the next couple of years. I think they're going to get really good. I'm very impressed with Bortles and all the people that the Jaguars picked up. So this is exciting for Jaguars fans.
So, you know, if you had to sum it up, Cleveland gets a Jesus, moment because of Manziel works
yeah.
out. You know, I mean, that's like Brady going to, looks like Brady taking over in New England. Unless I go that far yet, but you know what I mean. It's going to be a big lift
yeah.
for the franchise.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other flip side,
yeah.
In Jacksonville, sort of the similar situation in Cleveland, not as horrible over the ages, just a short-term issue
mm-hmm.
here. So that could fix them quickly as well and make them at least competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
we had Michael Sam, the Rams take him, just basically in a late round. So we'll see how
mm-hmm.
his off-the-field hype with his gender was a big focus. Now we're going to see what
mm-hmm.
kind of work he can put in and actually showcase his football skills like he did at Missouri. So it's going to be interesting to see him there.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see his play speak for itself. You know, if you asked people probably what position he played, not many people would know. Most people know him for, when he came out and, said he was homosexual, which is great that he can be open about that. And now I would really like to see his play and see how he does. And then I think everyone in the football world is excited for the same thing.
All right. So let's bring in Mike Del Rio of the
right.
LFL 360 crowd from Legends Football League, as well as from GwinnettSportsReport.com and TheExaminer.com, who covers the Atlanta Steam of the Legends Football League. So, Mike, are you on?
I am.
Okay, Mike, thank you for making the time today with us. You're on with Oscar Lopez and Erica Lynn Anderson. And, Mike, give us a little bit of, perspective on the draft, since you were obviously, taking care of probably looking at the Falcons in a focus. Tell us a little bit about what you thought of the draft.
Oh, I thought Atlanta did a good job. A lot of people in the area were hoping that they would make some kind of package trade where they could move up into the first five, but based on the experience we had with Julio and then the number of picks we gave up for that, the offensive line seems more of a critical position area right now. So I'm really happy that they went with Matthews. I think he's somebody that can plug in, and he'll be ready to go this year. And they were still able to pick up some defensive help later on in the draft also. So I think it was a good draft for them this year.
Now, Mike, last year, was it more injury-prone for this Falcons team in your eyes? Is that why they probably slipped a little bit?
I don't believe so. I think the offensive line just was not ability-wise, if they were not at the level they needed to be. There were some moves that were taken, at the end of the previous season, letting some people go and not re-signing people and thinking that these guys were going to be ready, and it just turned out that they weren't. They weren't up to the level, and I don't think even with time that some of them would be able to be starters anywhere else in the league. So this was definitely a critical move that they needed to make, and I think it was the right one long term. So we'll see how it turns out. A lot of people were leaning on Clowney, thinking he could be the missing piece, but I think with the Falcons, it's much more than just a one-player situation.
Right, and the division is so tough, and the division is really tough in the South. So where do you see them next year in terms of what you see on the draft right now? I know it's just still a long ways, but if you had to just make an assessment now, do you think they're going to be competitive, top two maybe in that division again?
I can say that. I think they'll be competitive. A lot of it's going to depend on what we get out of Jackson this year and how well the offensive line that are returning improve over last year. The defense didn't look very good as far as numbers last year, but a lot of that was because of the offense not keeping the ball long enough and putting the defense on the field a lot longer than they needed to be. If they can maintain possession and control the clock a little better, get some more of the running game and take some of the pressure off the linemen so that Ryan isn't in a situation where he's having to pass so much and coming from behind, I think they'll be competitive in most of the games. Again, it's going to depend on what we get out of Jackson and how well the line actually steps up compared to last year. But yeah, I think they ought to be in a much better position.
Mike, try to give me an honest assessment because I'm a Rams fan. When we let him go, I just thought he was over the hill, and I still think he's over the hill now, and I think he's gotten more than enough. So where do you see him fit? I mean, is it just a reliable back now? Because he's not enough. In my eyes, I don't think he's a key back. In other words, a main back. So where do you see Jackson at this point?
I don't see him carrying the load. I think he's somebody that could be, more of a specialist type situation. But we definitely need to get more production out of him and keep him healthy, because we don't have a whole lot of options right now at that position. So we're definitely going to have to get more out of him. But I agree with you as far as the sense and the age and being past his most productive career. I don't think we're going to see that again. He's definitely on the downhill side of his career. But we should be able to get more out of him and give Brian a little more protection and some more options so he's not always having to run for his life. I mean, last year,
right,
there were a lot of questions. There were a lot of questions in the area about Ryan's toughness and things like that. And I don't really think that's an issue. You have a bad season, you get a lot of that, and a lot of the people jumping on Coach Smith, attacking him, and it's like, well, this is the same guy that led us to win seasons back-to-back-to-back when we hadn't had that the entire history of the franchise. So it's the same guy, it's the same strategy. There were other issues. I don't think management is one of the problems.
Awesome. So, that's a good perspective, and I agree with those points. Erica, do you think any comments on that?
I agree with his opinions, on the Falcons. Offensive line was definitely the problem. And, the Matt Ryan, I love Matt Ryan. I think he is future Hall of Famer. I honestly believe that. But it's hard for a quarterback to do much when he's not protected. And so them going with, offensive protection right off the bat was a really smart move. Miami had to do the same thing with how much Tannehill was sacked last season. So, and I like Atlanta. I want to see them do well. So I was excited that they were beefing up protection for Ryan.
So, Mike, let's dive into the Legends Football League because obviously it's one of those things that's in play now. And fifth season, pretty exciting. Second season in Atlanta. Brittany Morgan no longer there. We have Dakota Hughes that you've reported being the staple, and we were looking forward to seeing her in Toledo for the opening game yesterday, but unfortunately logistics and other things that obviously are out of the league's control happen, and it gets rescheduled to July 11th. So let's talk in general, Atlanta's team, where do you see them this year in terms of what you've seen so far?
I'm really impressed with the team this year as far as their preparation compared to their inaugural season. Last year it was brand new to everybody. And going into their opening game last year with Jacksonville, they just really were not prepared, and they had no concept of what the actual game situations were going to be, and it showed on the scoreboard. This year, based on the experience they had last year, and then they've got 9 returning players this year on their roster, they're far ahead of where they were at the same point last year. Losing Brittany was a blow because of her experience, but Dakota has been impressive. She's a young lady. She just turned 19 recently. But she's been very impressive as far as learning the game, the X's and O's, her ability, her confidence. So I definitely think she's ready to play. The thing with the Steamers is just going to be they're going to have to count on their defense this year because the defense is solid. Most of their returning players are on the defensive side of the ball, and Coach Robinson likes to model his defense off the Baltimore Ravens, so it's very safety heavy as far as the key players being the safeties, and they've got some strong people in those positions. The offense, we're going to have to wait and see. You've got 2 rookies that are going to be the ball handlers with Dakota, and then you've got Nish Salter, going to be the majority carrying the ball from out of the backfield. They both have shown good ability in practice. They look sharp. We're just going to see how they perform when game time comes.
All right. So, Mike, let me dive into your Legends Football League hat now. Jacksonville off the blocks, 2-0. They looked very impressive in the first game against the Charm. Not overpowering, but they looked impressive. And they have a lot of veteran squad members on that team returning on both sides of the ball. And they're beasts. Now they go into face Omaha. And I really thought Omaha is probably the best defensive squad in the league right now if you had to measure it over the amount of games that it's played. And I don't want to take anything away from any of the other teams, but to hold Jacksonville to 3 quarters without a score and the lack of some offensive firepower on their behalf, with Petrozulo now there, and then you got Shante Button, and it just seems like the Heart is probably the most defensive-minded team in this early season so far. Do you agree?
I agree with that, and it was surprising the way Jacksonville ended up exploding there at the end. I think Jacksonville's going to be tough to beat. You've got to look at them. They're off to a 2-0 start, and one of those wins has already come on the road. And as you probably know, the, you know, the LFL, because of their travel schedule, it's very tough to win on the road. I mean, last season, road teams went 7-15-1, and of those seven wins, four of them came from Seattle and Chicago, who each went 2-0 in their road games. So, you know, you pull them out, overall the league was 3-15 in road games. To be successful, you have to win both your home games and you have to win a road game. And Jacksonville has started off, you know, 1-0 at home, 1-0 on the road already. And their next home contest is going to be, you know, against Toledo. And I think Toledo is not going to be prepared for that. So I would expect Jacksonville to go to 3-0 at that point. And Atlanta will get Jacksonville at home. And for Atlanta to have a shot at actually, you know, winning the conference, they're going to have to beat Jacksonville, and they're also going to have to pull off a win on the road somewhere else and hope it comes down to, you know, to some kind of a tiebreaker.
Now, Mike, Philadelphia Passion no longer in the picture. That was probably the Achilles heel for the Jacksonville Breeze. So if they don't make it all the way for whatever reason, big disappointment with the squad?
With Atlanta?
Yeah, no, with Jacksonville.
I would think so. I mean, for them not to make it, yeah, there would have to be some kind of upset along the way because the way the schedule shakes out, for them to start off 2-0 already, they've got a big leg up. And I really don't see anybody that's going to be able to slow them down at this point. I wouldn't expect Toledo to pull off a win there. And at that point, even if Atlanta was to pull off a win, when they play the Breeze, it wouldn't be enough. Jacksonville would still end up being the conference champions. So, yeah, I think for Jacksonville fans, it would be a disappointment and a shock if they didn't come out on top.
Now, you have the Eastern Conference. The packed house in this league is probably the West. So the Blitz. Mm. I haven't seen the game live because they haven't broadcasted the past two games, and I think they're having logistics issues there as well on YouTube. But for the most part, the Blitz is probably the team to beat, especially with acquiring Shari Onley from Australia. You got Heather Ferd, you got Christel Harris, Allie Alberts, pretty stocked team in Chicago. So it's going to be really hard for them to kind of falter with Coach Hack. So, you know, L.A. found out, after a big win against the Sin, they found out yesterday that this Blitz team is not going to give down. So is the West the focus of this league right now?
I would have to say so, yeah. The majority of the talent is in that conference. And, you know, Chicago is definitely going to be tough. I think Seattle will be able to give them a run, but I would still have to put Chicago up there on top. And, yeah, I would expect to see in the Legends Cup, I would project Chicago and Jacksonville.
So Chicago, Jacksonville is your pick for that. What do you think of LA right now? Reborn, the Eddie Chan has not had a very good, overall record. I mean, he's got a decent record, but not overall like Bishop had or Chewy had. No comparison there, of course, because of three titles. So LA yesterday barely get edged by the Bliss. So until we see the actual live feed and see what happened, but overall LA has been reborn in a lot of ways with Carmen Brousseau and Kelly Schroeder coming from the Sin, and then you add some of the veterans from last year. So they've improved, I think, this year, given their 42 points put up on the first game, and then they put up almost 21 points yesterday. So you think LA's back?
They definitely put points on the board, and they played Chicago tough. I mean, it basically came down – in the end, in Chicago, although they were kind of one-dimensional, this is, you know, the LFL is majority-run league, and if you have that power, you can control the clock and you can also put the points on the board. I think Los Angeles is going to be competitive, and they're definitely going to be better, but Chicago is definitely going to be the hard team to beat, and now with them losing head up to them, I really don't see them being able to make up that difference. But, yeah, they're definitely going to be a competitive team all season.
Right. Now, the Green Bay Chill is kind of disappointing at this point. We haven't seen them in action except for against Seattle. They were disappointing in terms of, off-field because Annie Erler is not there. But there was a little of a spark with Jessica Payton there and then Anna Heisman as well. So even though they did falter, they got beat by Seattle, they did show some light late. They put up almost 24 points. So where do you see the Chill at this point? Is it going to be another disappointing season at this point based on because they're just in the conference with the tougher teams?
I think that's the biggest thing against them is the conference that they're in. Even though they lost, it was a road loss, and I still would expect them to do well at home. But in order to advance, you're going to have to pick up a road win somewhere. I think Green Bay is kind of in the situation as LA is, that they're good teams, and if they were in the other conference, you might look at them to come out on top. But because of where they are, the competition is tougher. Chicago's just going to be tough to overcome.
All right, so Mike, thanks for making the time today. Let's let our listeners know where they can find you. I know you're at LFL360.com for all the insights on this team and the Eastern Conference picture as well. Where's the other places that they can find you at on your social sites?
I'm on GwinnettSportsReport.com, which is one of the largest counties in Georgia. It's prep high school sports that I cover. And then also on examiner.com under general sports, and that's where you find the STEAM coverage on there. And then also do some writing for the – I also do Arena Fan, so I cover some AFL stuff for them as well.
Great. So, and then on Twitter, where are you at? Where's your handle on Twitter if anybody wants to follow you?
Sure. It's Del Rio, that's D-E-L-R-I-O underscore Mike.
All right. Mike, thank you for making the time today. Very informative, very insightful on the Legends Football League. We're going into week 6 almost there, so it's going to be exciting in the Eastern Conference, like we talked about, especially with the Heart, the Steam, the Crush. We'll see how out of those three who comes out a little bit more in terms of number 2, number 3 in that conference, given that Jacksonville, and then we still have the Charm that we haven't seen really play more than one game. So a lot of question marks on the Eastern Conference. I think the West has pretty much been decided. It's going to be a dogfight once again.
I would agree, definitely. And looking forward to the season. The team will be kicking off their season June the 7th, their home schedule against Omaha, and that should be a good one because last year's matchup was pretty physical. And I would expect this year to be the same.
All right. So, Mike, thank you again. Have a great Sunday. Thanks for making the time today. We appreciate your feedback. We will keep tabs on your insights, and have safe travels out in Atlanta.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for inviting me. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and take care.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
All right,
bye-bye.
So that was Mike Del Rio of TheExaminer.com and as well as at LFL360.com that covers the Atlanta Steam. So pretty insightful, and he had some good things to say about the Falcons as well, about how they need to improve, and we all agree, obviously, offensively was the key.
Definitely, yeah.
And Matt Ryan obviously needs the help, like you said, no different than Miami with Tannehill. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Let's let everybody know where you're at and then what you got going on with Gridiron Girls at this point.
All right. Yeah, you can find Gridiron Girls' Twitter account at GridironGirl.org. You can find my Twitter. It's at PatSpanGirl12. Our website is gridirongirl.org. If you go to the Pro Talk section, that's where I have all my NFL stuff. You can expect this week to have a draft recap post. I will, hit on the highlights, maybe the low points. So be looking out for that. We'll publish the links on both mine and Gridiron Girl's Twitter.
And if you guys didn't know, all our listeners, just to let you know, gridirongirls.org is the hub for college football when college football is in swing. So you can always go there and get everything college football as well and the NFL
for
beat
sure.
as well. So kind of exciting on that.
And, ladies,
and then tailgating recipes and everything else you can think of.
And if there's any ladies interested in writing for us, we do have some schools that aren't yet covered. So if you go to our site and see that there isn't a school covered and you're a fan, please reach out to us. You can send us a direct message on Twitter at GridironGirl.org, and we would love to hear from people. We need some more schools covered. So
awesome. So it's been pretty interesting. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, like we talked about at the top of the show. Great event here. We are having a contest on Twitter for the month of May up to June 7th. One lucky fanatic that follows us on Twitter and retweets our tweets will get an exclusive at Sexy Couture's Design Leggings pair. So if you are into leggings and you want a football field leggings type of style. And on top of that, a exclusive Sexy Couture's design. You can go to our Twitter feed at Gridiron Beauty, follow us and retweet, and we will put you in the drawing. And the winner will be announced on June 7th. Our last winner was Amber Kruger, 82, at Amber Kruger 82. She won our No Joke Football shirt for the April to May contest. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, we wish everybody a great Mother's Day, and we will be here next week on The Blitz for another edition of the Gridiron Blitz. On Blog Talk Radio, you can find our podcast at ultimatesports.com. So great Sunday, everybody, and Erica, have a great evening with your family, and a happy Mother's Day again.
Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.